We put the microphone up here. Good evening and welcome to tonight's Monroe City Council meeting. First, before we begin, want to apologize in advance. I'm ill, so if I'm sounding funny or if I end up leaving early and giving the gavel to our Mayor Pro Tem, you know why. So tonight is the Monroe City Council meeting for May 5th, 2015. The time right now is 7 p.m. And Ms. Smoot, will you please call the roll?
Certainly. Council members present and establishing a quorum are Hanford, Cuddeback, Rasmussen, Camp, Davis, Gamble, and Gehring.
Thank you. And Councilmember Cuddeback, will you lead us in the pledge, please?
Yes.
Thank you.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. The first item that we have on our agenda is a swearing-in ceremony for Officer Trevor Larson. Chief Quinzer.
Thank you to all those in attendance, Mayor Thomas, council members, family and friends of our officer being recognized tonight. Thank you to Judge Clough for officiating this ceremony. It's my pleasure to introduce Officer Trevor Larson. Trevor began his career with our department on April 15, 2014. He graduated from the Basic Law Enforcement Academy on December 9, 2014, and just recently finished his field training assignment. He currently lives in Bothell with his wife, Tara, and their children, Brock, Allison, and Heidi. Please help me congratulate Officer Larson in joining our agency.
I, Trevor Larson, do solemnly swear, that I will support the Constitution of the United States, and the Constitution and the laws of the State of Washington, and the ordinances of the City of Monroe, and that I will faithfully discharge the duties, of police officer, for the City of Monroe, Police Department. And that I will do so. To the best of my ability. We can first congratulate you.
Put the badge on. Trevor, would you like to introduce your family and friends that are here this evening?
Of course. Quite a few of them. This is my wife, Chief Quinzer, Tara. This is my oldest, Brock, Allison, and Heidi. Along with I have my mother, Mary, my father, Ken, right here, my sister, Dory, and she's got. How many do you have right now?
Oh,
geez. Tyson, Tristan, Marco, and Julian. There's so many. And then along with my mother-in-law, Tanya and Leif Moy, my sister-in-law, Micah Moy, my her husband, Patrick.
Micah Moore.
And she's got some little ones too running around here. So,
that's everyone here. I'm proud to recognize you before this council, and I value your commitment to the Monroe Police Department. And I'd also like to invite all of your family and friends over to the Police Department for refreshment.
Very good.
Oh, yeah.
flashback to the Trojan horse in the
mall. Oh, yeah.
Pushing
the rabbit.
It's the Trojan rabbit.
Yeah.
That was really cool.
The squeaky podium.
Oh, yeah. Look at his chaplain. The uniform on.
The squeaky podium reminds me of the
oh, yeah, right.
Pushing the rabbit, the Trojan rabbit up to the gate.
Everybody.
Squeak, squeak.
Yeah.
Coog. Yeah. I'm a coog. Yes, I saw that.
I cleared it wrong. He's got a huge family.
We like our coach, Polly. She's good.
Thank you, Kevin. Okay, we're going to go ahead and now that the room is cleared out, we're going to go ahead and continue. Councilmember Gehring has stepped out briefly, and I'll announce for the record when he comes back in. The next item that we have on this evening's agenda is a proclamation. This is, no, it's not. Actually, it's AB 15082. It's confirmation of salary commission appointments. As you all are aware, earlier this year, Council adopted a new section of code, that code establishing the Monroe Salary Commission to review and establish the salaries for the mayor and for the council positions. We advertised for five vacancies. We had a total of three people apply. There are still two vacancies. I am very happy to say that we had three qualified individuals submit their applications. We interviewed them and determined that they indeed were qualified to serve in the position. So I'm pleased today to present to you three people. The three positions being filled will establish a quorum, and by code within 90 days of the confirmation, which would be tonight if you so choose to do so, that within 90 days the commission would come back with how they've established the salaries for the positions of mayor and city council with the city of Monroe. So those three names, you'll note that their expiration date for the terms have different dates, and the reason for that is that for the initial confirmation of these positions, they need to be staggered. The way that I determined which individual would serve in which position was by random draw from a hat, which was witnessed by a couple different people. And so for the first position listed in the agenda bill, you'll see Erin Angus-Snapka. She would be serving a one-year term ending on December 31st of 2015 this year. She would be eligible for consideration for reappointment for the following term that would commence on January 1st of 2016. We also have David Van Kirk, who would be serving a two-year term initially ending December 31st of 2016. And then we have Brian Coonan, who would be serving a three-year term ending on December 31st, 2017. Note that these terms are each three-year terms, and again, the first crop of people have to be serving in a staggered manner like this. The other two positions, when they come in, would they be one, two, or three-year terms?
One will be for 2 years, one will be for 3 years.
Okay, so with that said, Council, for your consideration for confirmation, Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. I'd move to confirm the mayor's appointment of Erin Angus-Snapka, David Van Kirk, and Brian Coonan to the Monroe Salary Commission.
Second.
Thank you. I have a first from Councilmember Camp, and I have a second from Councilmember Cutterback. Discussion, Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, if the three of them are in the audience, could you have them stand or be recognized?
Brian Coonan, David Van Kirk, and then Angus Snapka.
Wonderful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Any other discussion on the motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 6-0. Thank you very much and congratulations.
Thank you.
Now to make it official, Ms. Moot will swear you in.
Solemnly swear or affirm that you will support the Constitution.
he will faithfully and impartially perform and discharge the duties of Salary Commissioner according to law to the best of your ability and understanding.
Congratulations, Commissioners, and thank you, Advance, for your service.
Thank you.
Thank you.
The next item that we have on our agenda is a proclamation for Letter Carriers Food Drive Day for 2015. So, proclamation, Letter Carriers Food Drive Day participation, May 9th, 2015. Whereas the National Association of Letter Carriers holds a Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive during the spring to restock shelves in area food banks for the summer, and whereas through the Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive, Monroe's letter carriers and our community donate the majority of the food that allows Monroe's Sky Valley Food Bank to carry families through the lean summer months during the Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive. And whereas Governor Jay Inslee designated May 9th, 2015 as Letter Carriers Food Drive Day in support of the Stamp Out Hunger Food Drive, and whereas Monroe letter carriers will deliver bags to mailboxes in our community for food donations, and whereas on May 9th, 2015, letter carriers in Monroe and across Washington will collect food donations placed next to our mailboxes as they deliver our mail. Now, therefore, I, Jeffrey Thomas, do hereby thank our Monroe letter carriers and our Sky Valley Food Bank for volunteering time and resources in support of our neighbors in need and encourage the community of Monroe to open hearts and cupboards to donate food on May 9th, 2015, Letter Carriers Food Drive Day. So, do we have somebody from the post office here by chance? No. Okay.
They wouldn't want to touch that anyway.
No, they probably wouldn't. I sneezed on it, yes. We'll put Purell on it before we send it to the post office.
Please do that.
Okay. The next item, thank you all. The next item that we have on our agenda is comments from citizens. This is a time set aside for members of the audience to speak to the City Council on any issue related to the City of Monroe, except any quasi-judicial matter subject to a public hearing. Testimony is limited to 5 minutes per speaker. Do we have anybody that has signed up? Okay, is there anybody that would like to come forward to speak this evening? Anybody at all? Okay, seeing none, we'll move on to the consent agenda. Council? Councilmember Gehring.
Move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
I have a first from Councilmember Gehring. I have a second from Councilmember Cutaback. And before we begin, before we take discussion on that and then a vote, please let the record show that Councilmember Gehring re-entered during the confirmation of the commissioners. Okay. Any discussion on the motion to approve the consent agenda? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. The next item on the agenda is under unfinished business. This is item number 1, AB 15084, approval of social media policy. And is this Mr. Brazel?
It is. Okay. Thank you, Mayor, Council. We're pleased to present a final
social media policy before you this evening. We put a lot of work into this. It's still, we kind of view it as a fluid document because it is something new that we're embarking on, and we'll be reviewing it as we move forward and new software comes out or new programs people want to take part in come on board. We will make adjustments as necessary. And at this time, I will turn it over to Attorney Lell, and he has some comments as well.
Thank you, Mr. Brazel. Very briefly, counsel, as Gene indicated, the policy before you tonight is subject to change. This is an area of law, as we've discussed before, that has been outpaced by the advance of technology. What will happen at the state law level, what will happen with case law as it evolves, and what other jurisdictions might ultimately come up with in the way of policies that might be better, clearer, more beneficial, or easier to use than the one that's before you tonight is something that remains to be seen. And if there are changes in the legal landscape, we'll obviously bring those to your attention, and it may include a suggestion for the council to either revise the policy or to replace it with something different. The other point that I would make is, again, as we've discussed before, much of what's in the policy is simply a restatement of existing law, the laws that govern you as a governing body of a municipality in any event. The Open Public Meeting Act, the Public Records Act, the state record retention schedules for public documents, the appearance of fairness doctrine, the code of ethics, etc. All of those apply in some manner regardless of what you're doing in your official capacity, and that includes your use of social media. If any of you do have a question about that, if there's a gray area that you're encountering or you don't know how to proceed in a given circumstance, my strong advice would be for you to reach out either to Mr. Brazel or to myself directly before you take any action that could be considered concerning. And it would be much easier, as always, to address those concerns preemptively rather than to wait for some negative consequence to result. Again, it's always easier to avoid a mess than it is to clean one up. So I would be happy to answer any questions that the council has regarding the revised policy before you tonight.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thank you. I was absent the evening that this was discussed, and so I just had a couple of questions. Page 5 of 8. In the first paragraph there, under Open Public Meetings Act and Appearance of Fairness Doctrine Compliance, it says, for this reason, council members are prohibited from participating in social media discussions, threads regarding city business that involve a quorum, and are strongly discouraged from friending other council members or liking other council members' posts. I'm just curious the reason for the friending. I guess I can kind of understand the liking, because you could have four people like a post and that might constitute a quorum, but I'm not quite sure on the friending what the reasoning for that or the purpose of that is.
We were taking the abundance of caution approach on that to make sure that there wasn't any conflict, to make sure there wasn't any commenting or anything like that would be taking place. Again, we felt that it was probably smart to start at that point and then move beyond that. If at a later date we want to make some adjustments to the policy, once we get up and running and understand how it all works, and if we don't see any issues, we could certainly adjust the policy. But we felt it was probably best to start with the most caution, move forward from there.
Councilman, would you yield for a comment on that?
Yeah, I'd love to hear you.
We're not talking about personal pages. We're talking about your official Facebook page as a city representative. And from that standpoint, it's just not friending another council member. Is the recommendation, as I read it here, is I just want to make sure when we're talking about the personal pages, which is that's your own deal there. So,
yeah, thanks.
I just want to make sure you were talking about the city page versus the person.
That's what I was talking about.
And to put it into a practical sense, is the issue would be that if all seven council members have friended one another and one of them posts something, and assuming that the permissions are not set for public, then it gives a limited group of people that end up seeing that post, which could hit a quorum. Is that Is that correct?
Also a risk, absolutely.
Okay, as opposed to it being public, so if you go and you look at the Monroe Monitor or something and all seven of you happen to see an article, that's different because that's open to everybody. Same thing would apply if you picked up the newspaper and you all saw that, but if you have something where it's friends or followers, I guess the universe of people that see it is can be smaller depending upon how those settings are. So it would be leaning toward the abundance of caution so that you don't risk that. Is that a reasonable...
That's exactly my understanding of the policy underpinnings of that language, and I would agree with that. As a legal matter, I don't know that it's necessarily required, but again, this is a constantly evolving area of the law. This is a cutting-edge issue. I've always advised the city to attempt not to be the test case on something, and this is a prime example of that.
Anything else, Councilmember Hanford?
No, thank you. That it all makes sense, and I think that's it's good for us to know these reasons, because I think for the public looking at our page, they might not understand why aren't they friends with the other council members on Facebook. It just doesn't make sense from that point of view. So I think hearing this, I think it's good that we know that so that we can explain that. And that could even be a disclaimer or something that gets put on the different pages, you know, why we can't be friends.
Just leave it there. Just can't be friends.
I mean, it just doesn't make sense, you know?
Just in the meeting right there. Why can't we be friends?
Why can't we be friends?
The song.
All right.
Can we all just get along?
There is a song there somewhere. That's all. I'm done. Break off.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. First, I want to thank the city attorney for answering my questions last week and the concerns I had. This is a great area, and I know we're going to be building this structure as we go along, so I appreciate it. On page 4 of 8, top paragraph, at the discretion of the mayor, categories of the official city of Monroe social media applications, tools, or sites may be permanently or temporarily discontinued if they are not or cannot be used in compliance with this policy. The mayor shall exercise such discretion in a viewpoint neutral, even-handed, and non-arbitrary manner. Could you explain why we have this paragraph here?
That actually is an excellent question. Not to lapse too much into legalese, whenever the city opens any governmental property, which arguably a Facebook page would be, and opens that property for some expressive purpose, under First Amendment analysis, that property falls within one of several types of categories for the First Amendment analysis. The type of category that the city-owned or sponsored Facebook pages would be under this policy is known as a limited public forum. And in a limited public forum, the city can establish criteria and standards for the type of content that is posted and displayed within that forum. And as long as those criteria are reasonably related to the purpose for which the city opened the forum in the first instance and created that forum, they're generally going to be upheld by the courts. But the caveat is those criteria and the city's enforcement of those criteria has to be done in a viewpoint neutral way, i.e. the city cannot establish criteria that are slanted toward a particular point of view, and the city can't enforce its policy in a way that discriminates against a particular viewpoint. For example, let's say that the majority of the council had Democratic Party leanings and its Facebook posts were geared toward that particular bent. The mayor, in deciding that these types of politically oriented posts violate the content requirement on political advertising or political content, couldn't selectively enforce that against only those council members with Democratic leanings. He would have to enforce it against all council members, even the ones that were posting Republican-leaning content. So that's the viewpoint neutrality prong that is inherent in any time that the city opens a limited public forum of this type. It's just to ensure that whatever exercise of discretion the mayor may ultimately hold and utilize doesn't lapse into arbitrariness and is essentially neutral and even-handed to the extent that he can be. I think that's an important part, and it's, in my opinion, it's an important provision to include in the city's policy.
So if the example that you gave, if we, you know, we could use whatever particular viewpoint that's being expressed, if, let's say, four of us are expressing one viewpoint and three of another, would the mayor then be required to shut down all expression of that particular issue, or just... It sounds as though it's selective, and I know that the non-arbitrary comment that you just made should preclude that, but I just want to make sure that the mayor, with all due respect, doesn't have the capacity to shut down a council member that he may disagree with, or for whatever reason. I just want to make sure that that's not going to happen.
I can't speak as to what will happen. I can tell you the way that the policy is drafted, and it's drafted very deliberately in that manner. If I could respectfully direct the council's attention to Exhibit A on page 8 of 8. These are the content standards for the city's social media policy. And what are listed here are a series of content categories that are inappropriate for the use of the city-sponsored social media. The mayor has the ability, or through one of his subordinates, to remove posts that violate this content. Correct.
In Exhibit A.
That clears it up.
And that must occur in a viewpoint-neutral manner.
Okay, I understand. Interesting. I think you answered it. Thank you.
And I'm just looking at those, since I would be one of the first ones to have to implement this should it come up. These seem pretty straightforward, and we are looking at Exhibit A. So it's comments not related to specific topics for discussion. But we've got things in there from political campaigns and ballot measures to profane and obscene language. So anyway, if council has any concerns or anything, you know, I'm sure you'll share them. So, okay. Anything else, Councilmember Camp?
I'm done. Thank you.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I'm concerned about the same paragraph. And I guess I'm not real super clear still why on just an elected whoever happens to be serving there. I mean, to me, this just immediately. The possibility of politicization skyrockets with this in here, regardless of who's in it. And more like if it was an administrator, somebody who's a non-elected, to me would be a better role perhaps for that kind of thing. I'd certainly be, you know, I'm sure Jeff, you do a great job. That's not clearly, you know, it's down the road. I mean, just because it says non-arbitrary and viewpoint neutral and even-handed doesn't mean, you know, it will be, or just the fact that you would even have to call that out lends itself to that there could be an issue in the first place, which doesn't breed confidence as far as I'm concerned. I heard you saying you think it needs to be in there. At least that's what I thought I heard you say. I guess my question didn't get answered. I guess my concerns, you felt like your concerns got...
If I understand,
please, that's why I'm at, because mine did.
Only in the areas that are discussed in this
Exhibit A
are the areas that would be under the control of the mayor. My concern would be a policy or something under discussion at City Hall that doesn't fall under this, where. And again, I wouldn't expect the mayor to do this, but would the mayor have the capability of going out and shutting down discussion of a particular council member if they express an opinion opposed to whatever the majority or whatever his opinion would be?
And I don't think they're ever precluded from doing that. No, that's my point, regardless of what it says in here. There's no real enforcement of, somebody can complain about that, but right. What's really to be done? Because the mayor, the person in that role is then just exercising... you know, their option. to do so based on what it says here in the code. So to me, there's like a can of worms there. And
okay. You still have the floor. Yeah. Our attorney would like to chime in, and then you still have the floor.
Thank you.
Well, I think, like Councilmember Camp's comments, those concerns are very well taken. And I think the point of adding this caveat language is to make it crystal clear that arbitrary enforcement of the policy is not allowed. If we were to remove that sentence, my personal opinion, okay, the policy would be more ambiguous to that effect. Legally, I don't think that viewpoint-based enforcement of these posting criteria would be permissible under the First Amendment in any effect, but having this express requirement for the policy to be administered in that way, I think actually hopefully addresses your concern. Okay. That's certainly
that's
its
the
purpose.
Intent of, okay, very good.
The other point to respond to had to do with the designation of the mayor specifically in his office as the individual charged with enforcing this policy. There's no reason that that has to be the mayor necessarily. It could be the city administrator, it could be the city, some other subordinate official. In my opinion, it makes sense for the mayor as the head of the city's executive wing to either wield that power personally or to be able to delegate it on an as-needed basis, but it's ultimately a policy judgment call for the council in adopting this policy as to who is designated.
Councilmember Gehring, could you yield just for...
Of course, yeah.
Looking at that paragraph again, there's nothing in there that specifies Exhibit A. Should that be in there, that only the areas or only the content which would fall within Exhibit A would be under this control, or are we going to leave it open to, again, the possibility of some other issue?
So Exhibit A are the specific categories of speech,
right,
or content that are impermissible, so that anyone who posts or comments on the site has to comply with that.
Absolutely.
But if you read through the policy, there are several other legal requirements that we've talked about: the Open Public Meeting, right, Act, the Appearance of Fairness Doctrine, et cetera, et cetera. So inherent in that, the scope of the mayor's authority is to stop a conversation that could be occurring in violation of the OPMA. But the thrust of that is to prevent viewpoint discrimination based on the criteria in Exhibit A.
If Councilmember Gehring will yield for one more question. So what? Let's assume that a future mayor decides to shut down a conversation on a topic of which they are opposed, but it does not fall within Exhibit A category, and is using, there's a question whether or not they're really actually using the ethics in election or an ethical argument to stop this discussion. Is there any mechanism for a council member to appeal and say, I want to be able to discuss it, I don't think your actions were valid? I don't know where
the short answer is, this policy is currently drafted, does not have a formal appeal provision.
Okay.
If that's the council's preference, one could be added to that effect. It begs the question a little bit where the appropriate appeal venue would be. Is this, just speaking out loud or thinking out loud, is this a situation where the council member who feels aggrieved under the policy would have a forum before the other council members in an open council meeting to explain why a particular post or thread or comment or a communication exchange should have been allowed but was improperly thwarted by the mayor? Because a provision to that effect could be added if that's the length that the council wants to go to for that.
Well,
there's certainly no legal prohibition against an appeal process.
Could a statement be added to this paragraph that states basically that an appeal to the city to the council for one of these issues or some perceived violation could be taken? And
the short answer is yes, a provision like that could be added to the policy. My strong recommendation would be that instead of adding it on the fly at this council meeting, that staff come back at a future meeting with a standalone section of the policy that addresses that. So, because it is an important issue, make sure that it's done correctly with proper thought behind it, and I'd be happy to work with Mr. Brazel to address that. I do think that that would be the recommended approach.
I wouldn't want to stop this. I think this is a good document, and after our discussion last week, I think it's the direction we should be going, or we had planned on going. I would like to see that discussion and something brought forward to us to handle an appeal process for this paragraph, and understanding what we're controlling with this makes sense. I don't have a problem with it.
And I'd be happy to work with staff before the next council meeting I attend and return with a proposed section to that effect. Is it the council's preference that these appeal rights or appeal options be limited to just the council members, or should it include some option for other people who were trying to comment or post but had their posts removed? That starts to be a slippery slope, but I'm happy to look into it either way.
So you're okay. So it's not just what the council members posting, but it's also what other people are posting.
That's my question to the council, as to how broad of an appeal right are you contemplating? Is the venue, in fact, before the council? What are the strictures for that? Would it be an adjudicative appeal? Is it a more or less formal appellate process? It begs a lot of questions.
For a comment.
I'll yield for coming in. Go
okay.
Ahead.
Yeah, no, he does. I mean, really, I think what everybody has voiced so far is that it's the mayor that has that piece. Is there any reason why we couldn't adjust this? But basically, it would be categories of the official City of Monroe social media application tools or site may be permanently or temporarily discontinued if they are not or cannot be used in compliance with this policy. Take out the mayor piece, and the standpoint of, you know, a differing solution would be, you know, what if the mayor, if there is the mayor notices or the administrator of the site notices that would be brought before council for council vote to turn it off, whoever it would be. That way you don't need a appeal process or anything like that. You'd actually be taking the vote. Yep, it's right here. It's in violation of the policy.
Before you answer,
why else do we have a policy? And the reason why we're putting a policy and saying, hey, don't do these things. Right. We're all agreeing. We vote on this policy that we're going to adhere to this. We're going to sign off on it.
Will yield.
So if you not done dead.
Wait a minute.
I'm not done yet.
No. We need to keep
things in order, guys and gals. And now I have more lights than I can handle here. So okay. So all right. So are the other lights that are on specific to this paragraph? Or because we could take care of other issues and then come back to this paragraph.
I do want to speak on this paragraph.
On this paragraph. Okay. There are lights on. All of these are for this paragraph. Okay.
Yes.
All right. But before we continue, clarify for me. It says categories. So this is saying that the mayor could shut down the council members and the mayor's Facebook. It's not saying that they would be editing people's comments, right? Because it says categories. It doesn't say a thread. It says categories.
That's correct. But someone has got to enforce the policies that are established here. And I think that the intent of this is to delegate that function to the executive wing, unless the council, and I'm not sure how they even work, but I mean, clearly this is an executive function. So someone has got to be charged with the ability of monitoring the posts and comments with the operational day-to-day upkeep of it, being able to do maintenance. And I'm a technological neophyte, so I'm a little unsure about the terminology, but I don't have a Facebook page. But someone has to do all those things, and when they do it, or he or she does it, that person needs to do it in a fair way and can't discriminate based on viewpoint. Separate from that, or as a corollary to that, if there are technical problems that for whatever reason need to be addressed on an immediate basis, some administrative official at the city should be given the authority to do that. Again, in a fair, even-handed way. But if that involves temporarily discontinuing the use of a particular category of social media, i.e. everyone's Facebook page, if the city has a Twitter feed or account, someone should have that ability. And this policy puts some limits on how that ability is exercised, but it does exist.
So one thing to offer, and then I'd like to go back to Councilmember Gehring, who has the floor, and then we'll go through the lights, okay? One thing to offer would be at the discretion of, if it stays the mayor, in consultation with the attorney or something like that. There's a check and balance provision that could be added, for example. That might be one option. The city administrator position works directly for the mayor, so if it is a city administrator, you do have that potential. If it is the majority of council, you have the potential where you might have a majority of council that that might disagree with a minority of council. So having a checks and balance, there may be an option to look at too. So just trying to offer up a couple other ideas, and then we're going to go back to Councilmember Gehring, and then we have Cutaback, Gamble, and Camp. Okay, so Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. Just restating my initial concern. I don't see this as an executive function. The role of the mayor is not to sit and have to look at social media all day and see what the other council members are doing. And if something applies, that to me falls more under administrator, city clerk, or deputy city clerk. Now we have a deputy city clerk for. We're moving forward with that position, are we not, with records retention and things like that. To me, that's kind of where this falls. It's not political that way, and it's also not an elected with other electeds. I'd be much more comfortable with that. I also like the idea of just categories, starting that sentence with categories. I understand we need to have somebody who does it, who makes the decision. It just shouldn't be another elected, and the least amount of politics possible. And when you have already administrative people who do administrative things already, this monitoring things on Facebook is an administrative thing, not an executive thing, in my opinion, especially with the people who are already doing records requests, things like that. So okay. That's where that belongs. I shouldn't say the mayor, regardless who that person is. And then the council should, if somebody disagrees, it should come back to the council, in my opinion. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutaback.
Thank you. So I agree that the paragraph is needed. You were saying it's basically enforcement of the policy. There has to be some way to enforce the policy. So maybe calling it that instead at the discretion of the mayor, which makes it look... So calling, maybe having it titled enforcement of policy, and I agree with Councilmember Gehring that having the mayor be at the discretion of the mayor makes it seem political, even if it might not be. I would prefer that it's possibly the city administrator or I believe it's an administrative executive function, but I think listing the mayor in there might politicize it. So I think having the category is important, calling it enforcement instead at the discretion of the mayor, having the city administrator be the one who enforces it, and then having it appeal to council, because then you can get that balance back. So that makes the most sense to me. And then my other comment was on the policy. I wanted to thank the staff and the attorney and the mayor for, getting this done, and I'm excited to move forward. So I hope, I do believe that we need to have a separate appeal, or maybe it's tied into the enforcement, the appeal thing. But I'd like to try to prove this tonight, if then we can amend it at a second council meeting. So I'm hoping that the changes we might want to make around the appeal don't hold it up. And then just a question about, exhibits is misspelled, but... but exhibit B, is that, I didn't see it and I could have missed it. Is that listed anywhere where it says refer to exhibit B in the policy?
I believe there's a cross-reference somewhere to that as something that should be included on.
Should be posted,
yes.
But I didn't, it, and I'm, because if it doesn't, it should say it somewhere in there. I don't know why we have, so. I would just check and see if it's referred to in there to say what page?
On page 5.
It's under the Open Public Meetings Act.
Oh, thank you.
Or wait, maybe earlier.
Actually, in the Public Records Act compliance section.
Okay.
Second paragraph.
Thank you. I messed up. Okay, that's it. Thanks.
Mr. Lowell, did you have something?
Just very briefly in response to Councilmember Cuddeback. First, to give credit where it's due, Gene and his staff took the laboring oar on this. I assisted a little bit, but the credit for putting this together is overwhelmingly to the staff. Second, the proposals to revise that paragraph that the council finds problematic, that's essentially a policy judgment call for the city. Again, the legal concerns are that someone, some official, has the authority to enforce the policy, to administer the policy, and that that individual does so in a neutral, even-handed way in compliance with First Amendment concerns. Who the council chooses that individual, that official to be, is largely a policy judgment call for you.
Councilmember Gamble.
So, just so I remember, the daily operations of this, who's going to, it's under the IT department, correct? So it's under the HR director and IT director?
We'll still have to set up the pages and all that. We did set up this past week through SMARSH, our archiving system. Mm-hmm. We've got the three Facebook pages already up and running. We've confirmed that we're archiving. That's the police page, the parks page, and the city of Monroe page. So we have cross-checked that, and everything's up and running fine. So it would be IT that sets up the accounts.
Sets it up and monitoring? Who's going to be doing the monitoring? Is it going to be...
Correct. And...
No, I'm obviously I'm going.
There's a direction here.
There's a direction here.
Here we go.
It's a non-elected position.
He looks behind him. There's nobody there.
It's a member of the management, director.
With the staff we have today, that's where it will fall.
That's where it will fall under.
It'll evolve as we bring our staff.
Sure. I would very, I tend to agree. You may say, hey, we're spending too much time on this, but anybody that has been involved for a second in social media. Yes, it can be completely over-politicized, so the more we can keep it separated. And I think I would be much, for future councils and future mayors, I think it would make more sense to fall under the HR wing that is a non-elected official that oversees it. They're already going to be overseeing the day-to-day operations, the monitoring as it is. They're the one that's going to be able to first see, potentially, that there's a violation or issue of the policy, and then they administer it. They bring it, whether it's bringing it to council or bringing it to the mayor. Thanks.
Councilmember Camp.
Thank you. The only thing I would add to that is because of the timeliness issue, I would like to see an immediate response when not bringing, we need to stop something, so we want to bring it to council for a vote to see if it's appropriate or not. I would rather someone flip the switch and kill it and then bring it back. If there's an appeal necessary or something, we can go back to council. We have more time because things can get out there so fast. Beyond that, with the exception of everything I've heard tonight, it clears up this paragraph. With the addition of some sort of an appeals process, I think would be really good. I'd like to see this go forward. I think it's ready to go. I would really like to yield the floor to Council Member Cuddeback if she has any intention of doing a motion or anything. But beyond that, I'm almost ready to say I'm done. Would you like to need to yield?
Yeah.
Sorry. I thought there was one more.
So
I will.
Are you finished? Because then I will acknowledge the next light that goes on.
Okay, I am finished.
Okay. Councilmember Hanford?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Again, I wasn't here that night, but I'm just curious why we're so eager to pass this tonight when the attorney's already said that he wants to go back with staff to revise the wording. So I'll yield the floor to whoever.
Next.
Councilmember Cuddeback or Councilmember Camp?
You have the floor right now.
So that's all. Thank you.
There you go.
Councilmember Cuddeback.
The reason I would like it to be passed tonight is I think the body itself is set. The changes we're going to make in the enforcement, I think, can be made in next week or in 2 weeks and add it on. I don't think that should hold up the whole policy. We've been looking at this for 3 years.
3 years.
So I think and moving it forward would be important. So I don't think what we're lacking or going to change in here is necessary to hold it up for a few more weeks.
So. Would you yield for a question? So just to be clear, you're wanting to get this passed tonight, mm-hmm. and then in 2 or 3 weeks' time come back with an amendment?
Change the policy. I mean, you're going to adjust the policy. I don't know what that needs, if it needs.
You can just amend the paragraph.
Amend a paragraph.
Okay. Thank you.
So make a motion.
Okay. You still have the floor?
So I will make a motion to approve the social media policy as proposed.
Second.
Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Cuddeback, a second from Councilmember Rasmussen. Discussion on the motion. Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I would, if the motion makers, I think I'd like to make a friendly amendment to specifically talk about that paragraph, that paragraph is going to be changed with a reference to changes being made by staff for the enforcement. That'd be part of the motion so
sure.
that doesn't get lost between now and 3 weeks from now.
Yes. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate
yes.
that.
Yep.
So, however, we need to word that to just recognize that paragraph's the one that's changing.
Okay. Liz, remind me, they do need to vote on the original motion or an
friendly
amendment.
Yeah.
You need to vote on the amendment, and friendly? Then you will vote on the main motion.
Okay.
Once the motion is on the floor, it belongs to the entire body. So any amendment to the motion on the floor would need to be approved by the entire body.
Or the main motion would fail, and then you'd make a new motion with the added language. So do I understand that you've made a motion to add to the approval of this policy to have the enforcement language modified to have a staff member identified as being responsible for the enforcement, and also to include appeal procedures?
Correct.
Okay. So I have a motion, and I have a second to amend the motion. The second to amend the motion is from Councilmember Hanford. The first is from Councilmember Gehring. Any discussion on the motion to amend the main motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. We'll now move to the main motion. Any discussion on the main motion? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. Thank you. All right. We will now move on to the next item on our agenda. I'm sorry. Thank you. Mr. Brazel.
Just to wrap up, so where we're going to go from here is I'll work with staff, most likely Ben. We'll send an email to council asking who will want to participate. We'll get those pages set up. We'll also, in that email, ask what type of social media you want to participate in. This is really geared towards Facebook as a starting point, but certainly if there's other things you want to do, Twitter, that type of thing, that'll be in that response that we'll be looking for. May need to do some amendments to the policy, depending on what you want to do. Maybe somebody wants to do Pinterest. We don't know at this point. But we figured we could put those in the appendices afterwards, continue to build that as technology changes. We can build that in there versus just changing the whole policy every time. So that's kind of the concept we're going to take.
Mr. Worthen?
Outside of Facebook, everything associated with this has a cost. So please, if
And I would like to add to that also that that there's a lot of different forms of social media out there. We just passed the policy, and I would encourage that my preference, and again, it's up to the legislative body as to what you want to do, but I would encourage maybe taking on one at a time so that our staff can learn what it's like to use Facebook, see how how things work, and then if you want to move on to the next one after we've had an opportunity to try that out. So from a technology standpoint, if all of a sudden we turned on a few, several of them or a few of them, it could get complicated. But you know, I don't use Twitter and LinkedIn and those other things as much. I have a Pinterest account, but I don't know how to use it. So the point is that I've got accounts myself, and I just haven't been able to use them. And maybe they're simpler to use, and maybe staff could adjust to them. But I just ask you to kind of think about that as we're rolling out the different programs that we'd end up using. Okay. Anything else?
Thank you.
Okay. All right, we're going to go ahead and move on to unfinished business number two, AB 15085, discussion 2015 comprehensive plan. Mr. Osaki.
Mayor, council members, I just want to take this time tonight to just give you a little of a briefing on what the Planning Commission has been doing, and also look ahead to next week, because next week the plan is to have the consultant here to give a discussion on the comprehensive plan. And at that point in time, I want the consultant to drill down a little bit more than maybe what you've done before. But in terms of what the Planning Commission's done, the Planning Commission opened up a public hearing on the comprehensive plan on April 20th. They continued the public hearing to last night, May 4th, to gather more public testimony. And actually about six people came and attended and gave testimony to the Planning Commission. And just very quickly, just in terms of a quick summary, some of the comments were the need for more crosswalks on Lewis Street, Al Borland Park, and addressing some of the safety considerations in that particular part of the city, a statement about desire for an overpass over the railroad tracks, and then there were some comments about downtown. Some of those comments were more specific to an individual who has a specific development situation who feels a little bit frustrated by the existing code. So it was less of a comprehensive plan discussion than code particular type of discussion. Talk to that individual today, and I'll be following up with him to deal with his specific concern. But those were some of the comments last night, and to the extent that some people said that they really haven't had a chance to read the document, what the Planning Commission did was extended the public hearing again till next week, next Monday. So there'll still be an opportunity for the public to give comment to the Planning Commission in a public hearing setting next Monday night. Now, for next week, the consultant, Studio Cascade, will be here. And some of the items that I've asked him to talk about, in addition to what he may normally talk about, just a general overview of what the plan content is. Just as a reminder, here are the plan, here are the elements, and here's what are in the appendices. I've also asked him to talk a little bit about format, because I know format was a consideration on part of the City Council, so he'll talk a little bit about the format, how the policies are now in a section that relate to the goals and tie back into the individual elements, and what he's done there to make sure that you as a City Council are comfortable with that work. Asked him to talk about the plan map, because in looking at the plan map and the proposed comprehensive plan, several plan map designations get eliminated, and there are several new plan map designations that are created. And that has implications for down the road in terms of zoning, and I'll talk about that in a little bit more. I've also asked him to talk a little bit about some of the key areas in the city, some of the key changes in terms of land use. Just as a reminder, here are some of the key philosophies and strategies of the plan. Here are some of the areas that are going to change. And then finally, even though it's not part of his scope of work, I asked him to talk to you about next steps. And what are some of the short-term next steps, and what are some of the long-term next steps? And some of the short-term next steps are going to be amending your zoning code and amending your zoning map. Because to the extent that your comprehensive plan is changing plan map designations, you're dealing with issues of density, and that some plan map designations go away and you're creating some new plan map designations, that means your zoning map's going to change, your zoning designations may very well change, and there's going to be a work effort that's associated with that, and I want him to talk to you about that, inform you about how much work may actually go into that. So that basically concludes what I want to talk about tonight. And if there's anything in particular that you would be interested in hearing the consultant talk to you about next week, I'd be happy to hear that right now, and I'll convey that on to the consultant.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I appreciate the update. Thank you very much. A couple things that we've asked for before. Just at what point can we expect to see some of the changes that we'd already asked for? I know I'd spoken about the map, and I mean, since we're leading with the map, I'm assuming that's the map you were just talking about. That was just kind of an overview map, was right off the bat. We had this, central Monroe type of a thing that extended all the way out to the Frylands, just stuff that didn't make sense for culture, either geographically or culturally in Monroe. If you're in the Freelands, you don't think of yourself as in central Monroe. I mean, those kinds of things, right? And so I'm assuming those are being made, and are we going to see those back? I mean, part of the feel has been the whole time is there's been a bit of, hey, here's what you guys are getting, and we've kind of been doing, well, no, here's actually what we want to see, you know, from that kind of a thing. And the little things like, you know, North Hill, when there is no such thing as the North Hill. I mean, all that kind of stuff. And I think Brad had spoken to that before you were here with, yeah, he knows that, but you're not going to see that yet in the latest. So when are we going to start to see those kinds of things? When will he return back with the changes that have been asked for previously so that we get a sense of, hey, we're a lot closer to the final product so that we're all comfortable with it? Ultimately, I'd like to start seeing some of those things back, and so hopefully he can either address those or say, yeah, we've already taken care of it, and you'll see it in the next, you know, the draft, that kind of a thing. And then otherwise, yeah, just highlighting the areas of town that, you know, just how drastic changes might be. Just a heads up on those would be certainly helpful for me in getting, you know, wrapping around what we're seeing. And again, feels a little bit rushed here at the end, but you know, we certainly want time for all of us to be able to digest. Hey, this we're increasing density here or there, because I don't know, we haven't really had that conversation here yet to date. So, thank you.
Councilmember Steve, does anybody else have anything that? Okay, I see nothing else. Thank you very much, Mr.
Thank
Sahi.
You.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right, the next item that we have on the agenda is under new business. This is AB 15086, Main Street Gateway Project Design Concept Options. And so we gave you a little bit of a preview of this a couple weeks ago.
Uh-oh.
Okay. And Mr. Peterson.
Well, good evening. For listening to us as we give our presentation of the Monroe Gateway Roundabout that we've been working on the last few months. In the audience tonight, we have a couple of our design consultants. We got Mark Burris from Lochner and Colleen Rebecca from HBB. They are essentially the backbone of the team that did the study and came up with some concept alternatives to look at and discuss tonight. I'm going to just give a quick background of the project before I turn this the show over to Vince to address the details of this presentation. And for warning, this is a new projector. It's pretty bright.
I will definitely do that. Thank you.
So in 2013, actually, we successfully applied for grants and received a grant from Kingstown Regional Council. They're called the Rural Town Centers and Corridors Program. And really, the grant was set up to help fund a design for a roundabout at the Main Street Madison intersection. Now, as staff started scoping out the project, we weren't entirely sure that a roundabout would be applicable to that. That's how the grant was approved. So what we decided to do was break the study into two phases. Phase one is the planning study to see what would be a good concept. Give us a selection of concept alternatives to put there. And then once we choose the preferred alternative, then we would roll into a design on that preferred alternative. So phase one concludes tonight, and that is that we've gone through the studies, did some community outreach and developed some concept alternatives. And we're going to present those alternatives shortly to council to open up discussion, and the goal, of course, is to pick the preferred alternative. Why that particular intersection? Well, the intersection is identified in the downtown master plan as a location for improvements or to create a gateway, if you will, into the downtown business corridor. So that was the basis of our grant application. PSRC, Sound Regional Council, thought it was a good program, and they gave us the money to do the study. So we awarded Lochner the contract to lead the design in November, and they spent the last few months with their sub-consultants analyzing and coming up with concepts and doing some community outreach. So tonight we're here to present that to you. I would probably propose that because there will be, you know, we'll be posting some alternatives. If you have some questions or some clarifications as each slide comes up, it would be all right to go ahead and interrupt the presentation.
Yeah, what I'll do is I'll just take the lights.
Okay, yep. Great. And then then after the presentation's over, I'll wrap up and maybe facilitate some Q&A discussion. So, anyway.
Yep.
Get you some sunglasses.
I guess that works good enough. So, Mark, why don't you go ahead and
Well, thank you. I'm happy to be here tonight to talk about the Main Street Gateway project. And like Scott mentioned, we've been working on the project since about January. This first phase of the project is coming to a close, and that's the alternatives development. And we've gone through a process that we'll discuss here with you in the presentation of how we got to the alternatives that we're at now. And then we're here to answer questions and discussion for the
Good evening, Mayor, Council. So I'm going to take the lead on the presentation and the button. So this is just a snapshot of the project timeline, where we've been. It brings us to today. Just to let you refresh you on our steps, we had our kickoff meeting in December of last year. Then we went into a really, really robust visioning meeting, which I just had a ball because it had a lot of stakeholders. It had staff and some representatives. The mayor was here, and it really set the stage. I learned a lot about your community because I'm the first to admit that I don't live here, but my job is to come in and find out as much about you as possible so that we could turn around and hand that back to you in the form of a design. Then we took some time, a couple months, to go through conceptual designs, and Lochner's office did quite a bit of study on traffic analysis and mobility, and then I support them with aesthetics and really bringing the vision into the concepts. The concept design then was the alternatives were reviewed with city staff, and then it's my understanding you have had a briefing. This is our first time before you, but that you had a briefing somewhere that was probably in April. Then we had a really, really great open house, community open house, and I'll talk a little bit about that as we move into that. But we had a great turnout for your size of community. I was really pleased with that. And then here we are tonight to summarize basically what we heard in the open house and to review the alternatives with you. So Mark, jump in if I leave anything out. So these are just some photos of our open house. It was held here. We had approximately 35 attendees. We don't have a firm number because a lot of folks came in together that only one party signed in, but we know there was more than the number that actually signed in, and I think it was a very great cross-section of the community, some business owners, some just residents, community members. So again, I was really pleased with the turnout and the cross-section of folks. Next. So what we presented at the community open house, that we also gave people the opportunity to comment to us verbally. We scribed notes, and then we also had comment cards that we handed to people as they were going around and looking at the four different alternatives. So in terms of the alternatives, we had two intersection alternatives and two roundabout alternatives. And I don't know how familiar you are with these. If you want me to go, how much detail you want me, time you want me to spend on these with you, I'm happy.
If you could give a summary.
Just give the highlights? Okay.
Highlights, yes.
So this is one of the intersection ones. It is actually the one with the median, so it's got a pretty substantial median that just continues. Oops. Uh-oh. We're going backwards. So, nope. There you go. Stay on that one for a little while. Okay. So we're heading east with the median. Now, I'll just capture in all of these that we are moving the flagpole in the sight line directly in the direction it's at over across the intersection to the east in every scenario. We have incorporated the historic garden in every scenario. We have community event space in every scenario. So I'm not going to repeat these every time. And then we have a festival tree. I don't have a. Do you have a pointer? Or do you want to use that? Probably not.
You can walk up.
I know where. There you go. So there's the festival tree. So, and basically, all but one can be closed off for festivals. So this can be closed off the east side of the intersection. And basically the concept of this one is to have a different paving in the street, so you capture that entire street as an event space. And so that's why you see the brown bands and the darker color in the center is basically concrete. So that's a defining difference in this particular one. Now, in terms of the open house...
If I can interrupt real quickly, the festival tree is an evergreen tree.
An evergreen tree.
That some of us might call a Christmas tree also. So, okay. Thank you.
So the comments from the open house on this one is that they preferred an intersection over a roundabout. That was a positive comment. Some of the things they didn't like about it was too much concrete, and I think they're referring to that large festival space. Relocation of the flagpole, and it does not utilize the car lot to the south of the kind of the southeast of the intersection, because some of our options did show utilization of that property. Any questions on this one?
So the way things usually go is that they'll hit their lights, and it usually is as you go from transition to transition.
Okay. You'll let me know.
Yeah, they'll let you know. So I have two lights on right now, Councilmember Cuddeback and then Councilmember Gehring.
Okay.
Councilmember Cuddeback.
You mentioned that there was an aversion to the roundabout. Did people say why? Did you get any feedback on that? As you listed these four alternatives, why were they anti-roundabout?
They said it was too big for the intersection and that it was too large for Madison. The scale of Madison Street, and once you see the roundabouts, it wows it out quite a bit. And they said it didn't seem to fit. It was just too oversized. Too oversized for that particular intersection, especially as Madison comes in.
Some folks just seem opposed to the roundabouts in general, too. We got a couple of comments. It was not too many roundabouts.
And that was my question, because I don't get a real response on why not a roundabout there when people have complained about a roundabout. And the one up on Chain Lake and Kelsey is beautiful, and the one by 522, now that's a bigger space, I guess, so I was trying to look at, because the shifted roundabout in here looks nice. wasn't necessarily in favor of a roundabout, but in looking at this, the shifted roundabout looked really nice.
Yeah.
And then my other question, so that's the main difference between this and the extended median then, is that concrete shading, because I was trying to look at really what the difference between those two medians. The other one has a long median, and you can't turn left onto Freeman.
Exactly. That's another main difference between the extended median and this.
But what, you know, they look pretty similar.
Right.
But I guess
you're
to that one.
Right.
Okay.
They're quite similar.
But you can't turn left onto Freeman on the extended median.
On this one.
Oh, on this one you can't?
You can here. You can't on the
extended. On the extended median.
Right.
Okay.
Correct.
All right. Well, I'll have questions about that one. Thank you.
Councilmember Gehring.
Thank you. I will go ahead and preview. I do like the shifted roundabout. This is actually my favorite option overall. I think you need to be able to take a left turn off of Fremont onto Main. So the extended plus you can still shut this down and have your festival space here. And the extended median, I love the medians that we have in Main Street now. And so the extension of that median there now, I think, is great. As far as too much concrete, the shifted median has a ton of new concrete. So I'm surprised that would actually be feedback on this option. This, to me, actually, in a really a hybrid option. This one, and I don't know why the parking lot wouldn't be included on this one. We should have this one, in my personal preference, looking at all these and seeing what we have, is this one with the parking lot right there below it. You need to be able to take that left-hand turn off of Fremont onto Main, and you can still have your festival stuff here. You can still shut it down, and you can still have, you know, your Christmas tree, and we still have the possibility of downtown parking. So, and the different colored pavement, I think that's really cool. So from that standpoint, it looks to be a pretty economical option as well. It's a great enhancement as far as I see it. But I guess I was just curious why parking lot wasn't included. I was trying to figure out of the four, which I only saw parking lot at the very, very end in the summary slides, the very last summary slide, in fact. And I know you're not there yet, but I would hope to see it here with the parking lot in number one. And if that was the case, then I'm sold on this immediately. So anyway, those are my thoughts. Thanks.
So the reason the parking lot's not included is because it's not necessary in order to build this intersection.
Okay.
It might be a nice feature, a nice enhancement, but only one of the four actually requires it to accommodate the space of the
I see what you're saying. Okay. And in that instance, I think it'd be great to have both. And I think this plus that parking lot would be awesome, but I think this gets us to where we're going, and certainly at a more affordable than a full-on roundabout, although I don't have any problem with roundabouts, so thank you.
Same. Councilmember Gamble.
Oh, and just kind of the same along the lines on the roundabout question. I didn't pick up did they give any reason around the concrete, or they just didn't like that much concrete? That was it.
Sorry, what?
You said there was feedback that they didn't like all the concrete.
Oh, in this option?
Yeah.
Because of the street is typically asphalt, but where we're showing those rings, it would be we're proposing concrete inside there to basically, when you close it down for a festival, it becomes the festival space.
Understood. They just didn't like that.
There
was no
concrete.
Reason. No, okay.
Just too much concrete.
Right. Yeah. Just a preference, I guess. It was a preference.
Yeah.
There wasn't any sort of...
Right.
Okay. No, that's what I'm trying. I mean, everybody has different preferences.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have any other comments.
Okay.
Please continue. Thank you.
It's the process now.
It could change on you.
Yeah. Intersection with extended median. I think you're familiar with this. It prohibits the left turn out of West Fremont Street. And there was quite a bit of discussion about the school buses and how the school bus routes would facilitate with this option. And there was a representative from the school district there, and he said that they could modify their route to accommodate any of these. So he was okay with that. So the pros on this one was it continues the boulevard look. They really like that. Again, intersection preferred over roundabout, and I think you'll start to see a pattern that maybe the same person was commenting. aesthetically pleasing. Some of the cons were, again, the flagpole's relocated, which is it is in all four, and the extended median prohibits the left turn, and it does not incorporate the car lot.
So those are basically on this one.
Customer cutback.
So on this one, under key features, you said vertical elements, but that you didn't have it on the previous one. What is a vertical element?
Okay, so a vertical element is if you look in the plaza space, you see little squares around the trees. Those could be features that frame the trees. Those could be things that connect overhead that could be like a trellis. So it's really an added design element. And again, keep in mind, any of these things are transferable.
That's what
I was going to say,
they
mix and match. Yeah,
it's
exactly.
A menu.
Yeah, totally.
Okay.
It's
a kit of parts.
Okay.
We just thought it really worked well in this one because we had space for the trees here. And
yeah.
So yeah. That's what that means.
Okay, and that was my question, because on this one you put a key feature, the boxwood hedge, but you didn't have it on the other one. It
right.
Looked to be exactly
okay.
Could the same.
Right.
So that
right.
That helps. Okay. I agree that the left-hand turn just have more options on the Fremont, so this was not my not being able to do it on this with this choice was not my favorite.
So. Anybody else? Okay, go ahead. Thank you.
So now we move into the roundabouts. This is a centered roundabout. So you can see how the footprint of the intersection grows, and I can't necessarily speak to the property. Would there be property acquisitions? Back up and say in the intersections there would not be any property acquisitions, correct, Mark?
Correct.
And then in this one?
Minimal,
but some of the edges of the four corners? Or
in this one we centered the roundabouts, so there was no preference where we were taking property, if you will. It was just centered in the inscribed circle and the entrance and exit lights drawn symmetrically, so there's no, it's pretty much equal to take from all four quadrants.
So one thing about this is you could keep the roundabout operational from a traffic point of view and just close off that eastern leg and still have your event, which the other roundabout, we'll look at that, you can't exactly do that. This adds a lot more landscape area in terms of all the legs we have here. Some of the, I guess the other thing the roundabout does is it centers the flagpole, excuse me, right in the middle of the intersection and really makes it prominent in the intersection for the vehicles and for the pedestrians. So the open house comments, the pros were it keeps the traffic moving, so they're always circulating, they're always moving. That was a positive about a roundabout. It extends, the extended median prohibits the left turn, so you're losing your left turn off of Fremont. And the roundabout, they said in this one, it's too small. I don't, from a traffic point of view, is it too small?
No.
Okay. Compared to the other one, it looks smaller. So that's probably the comparison. And so this is where the comment that you see Madison feeding into it from the north and south, the comment about the roundabout just feels too big for the footprint of Madison. So that was just one of the other comments. But again, we have the community garden, we have the Christmas tree or festival tree, and a substantial amount of landscape. So it's very green.
Councilmember Gary.
Thank you. And while I think the roundabout is cool, I actually would have some issues with some of the other parts. The extended median, as I said before, that kind of destroys your whole festival space that you were talking about there earlier. And because you got a bunch of bushes, you wouldn't even be able to cross the street there. To me, that would kind of eliminate that option altogether as far as if you were going to do that festival thing we were just talking about in option one. Especially if you got a rail, I think it said rail, and you're also talking about bushes and plants there. The spaceship shape, whatever that shape is, with the point on the end there. Yeah, I don't know what that is, shape is. A fish with a cutoff tail, right? Yeah, something like that. So, yeah. The flagpole, I mean, I think it's already very prominent. So whether it's at the end, whether it's shifted to one median or the other, from that standpoint, it's already right in the middle of the road. So I'm okay with its current prominence, wherever we decide to put it. But again, you know, as I said before, that left-hand turn is important, but we would lose our festival space on this one, in my opinion, with that extended piece. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Cuddeback?
Yeah, I agree. I didn't, that median going out that far, I don't know if there's an option to shorten it, but this was probably my least favorite because you have that, you lose the left-hand turn and you don't seem to have a bigger plaza space in this one, which I think would be great for the start of downtown, especially with we have a Christmas tree lighting and all of that, so. And how do you know how this compares to the roundabout we have up at Chain Lake or Kelsey? The size, you said this was the smallest roundabout you could have. Do you know? I'm just curious.
Kelsey. Mark, I'm sure what
Yeah, okay. Because that size up at there doesn't seem like it would be too overwhelming for Madison. That's why I'm just trying to figure that out. Okay, thank you.
The shifted roundabout, and this is the one that does incorporate, it's shifted to where it takes the car lot. And you can see the plaza space there, very, very large. The Bosca trees and the trellis representing the recall of the railroad history. Very large center on this roundabout with flagpole, and you could actually do some of your events out there. You'd have to have some traffic controls. Now this one, you'd have to close down the entire roundabout to make the event space work if you're including the centerpiece with it, and you'd probably have to close it back down to Kelsey. So again, a very, very large footprint. positives at the open house, keeps traffic moving, facilitates school bus routes, so this one keeps the school bus route where it is. The plaza space, wow, is very desirable. A lot of people really, really liked that. The parking lot may be, a nice use for that space as well, in addition to in combination with the plaza or parking lot. Some of the negatives were maintenance might be an issue. We've got a lot of green here and a lot of hardscape to maintain. Again, there's the extended median issue with this one. Not interested in another roundabout was a comment here. And then Madison's too small to accommodate a roundabout. So this one's pretty aggressive.
I think they got a lot of positive feedback.
Well, we did. We liked that they liked the event space.
Yeah.
Councilmember Gamble?
No, I think that's what makes the option we were talking about earlier appealing, is because where you have the intersection and then you look to try to incorporate that park and or parking lot in conjunction, it would be very appealing.
Okay, great.
So just quickly, Mark's going to talk about the cost comparisons of the four.
I'm sorry, Councilmember Cutback, I missed you.
I just had a question about that one, the last one. Do you have to have that extended median?
It's desirable, just for the
kind of
the roundabout. It would be kind of a traffic conflict point there if you had less going out of Fremont on the main there.
I see. So it's a way to control the traffic somewhat as they extend. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
So for cost, these are just planning level cost estimates based on very little design work, and so we're listing a range of costs, and we've looked at this includes right-of-way costs, maintenance, the infrastructure costs, and then we do have operations and maintenance with that as well. So quite a range.
That's where we cut it back.
Well, the shifted roundabout is a lot.
Yeah.
Is that even an option?
In terms of funding?
Yeah.
But we'd have to pursue a lot of grant work to try and make it a reality. Yeah, it'd come out of street funds, and street funds can't afford something like that.
Yeah. So the one with the intersection with the median and looking at 900,000 to 1.2 million, is that fees?
Well, every one of those would need grant support.
Yeah.
But we wouldn't be able to provide that without our own street funds. So it's dependent on receiving additional grants.
Is there any left over from the PRC or PRSC grant?
No.
Okay. PSRC.
PSRC, Puget Sound Regional Council. So the grant that we did receive covers just the study design component of the project. That's where it will end. So this project will, I'll say, sunset with a shovel-ready plan set.
Okay.
City staff would pursue, look for other grant opportunities that would pair up well. If the project is shovel ready, just looking for construction funds and right-of-way purchase funds if necessary, we tend to score better than projects that are just the concept and idea. So it really kind of depends on that.
Okay.
Just keep pursuing the grants, and if we're successful, we can start to build up the project funding. So.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, go ahead.
The next couple of slides are just image slides to show the Christmas tree. This is from other projects. The historic garden down on the far right. Some of the street trees would be more columnar. Any trees we're showing here would be compatible with an urban environment. They'd be very columnar, so they don't get out of hand or require a lot of maintenance. And just some of the trellises that could support, depending on which option there's space for them. the next slide. It's a continuation of, so if you go with the larger spaces, and you have a lot more pavement, although this could happen in really any of them, you know, we get involved with different patterning and textures and, you know, make the spaces as exciting as possible. The historic markers, there was some desire to bring some history into the city, so in some of the options we showed ways, locations for those, and these are just some different ways in which it can be incorporated. They're not going to be final designed at this phase, but it's just, you know, again, this is just thinking of how things could come together. The small fencing was one thing that came out of the visioning, is that sometimes drivers get a little off course here, like they do in other communities, and it might be nice to have something substantial that looks nice, that kind of keeps them on course. So that's why you're seeing the fencing, very low fencing. Next slide. So basically, what we heard from the open house, to summarize as a team, is that this was the most desirable option from the open house. Okay, so it's the extended intersection with the extended median. Of course, at your discretion and your advice, these can be mixed and matched. Then what we did on the next slide is go ahead and show if you were to add that piece of property. It's not a requirement of the traffic for this, but it's a possible enhancement, because we did hear that once we showed it in that one roundabout concept, that, wow, what an opportunity, that, you know, maybe we should seize the moment there. So I think that concludes our presentation.
Councilmember Gearing.
Thank you. I appreciate all the work in this presentation. It's really, it's well done, and it's cool to see all the different options. Appreciate the time that you guys have taken to do this. Just to reiterate, I'm very much in favor of acquiring, doing what we need to do to make additional parking for downtown. And so the additional area that you have there, I'd certainly be in favor of moving forward in some way, shape, or form with that. Again, the extended median for me is a non-starter, though. If we can mix and match that with option one, again, that different colored pavement, you know, just to that effect, I mean, that really creates a very visual space that is easy to shut down, where we can have our stuff. Again, when you extend that, you kind of cut off part of, you know, kind of part of an area, at least in my mind as I think about it. Option one really provides for a continuation of the meeting we already have on farther down Main Street. But it really creates a very visual space, as well as incorporating some of those really nice design elements. And so, some of the pictures are great. Functionally, it needs to be very functional, you know, as well, as you've considered. And some stuff can look really cool, but it might not necessarily be functional. If we want to have a bunch of people there, if we want to gather people, one of the pictures was really cool. I loved, you know, the different grates with the trees randomly, but that's not good for, you know, a festival spot, right? Because then there's trees every 4 feet. Well, visually very pleasing, maybe not necessarily those. And I know those are just examples of stuff. But reiterating again, I think option one, with including the parking lot, would be my personal is my personal favorite. Again, I think it incorporates all the things we've wanted to do, and really enhances the area and the entrance into downtown. Thanks. That's my opinion.
Thank you, Councilmember Cutterback.
I agree with the short median, but adding the potential plaza parking lot to that design. When we went down to Olympia last year, that'd be a great place maybe for a farmer's market seasonally. So that's my feedback.
Councilmember Kent.
Thank you. Was there, did they give any reasons why they preferred the extended median?
Because they didn't like all the concrete in the
intersection.
That's right.
It was basically that piece
of
it that had the concrete in the street.
Big curved sections. Right. That area. That's what...
That was the main.
So it wasn't really the extended median that they objected to. It was the fact that they had the additional concrete.
That would be my take on it.
I'm sorry. I'm done. Thanks.
Councilmember Davis and then Councilmember Hanford. Councilmember Davis.
I like the intersection with the beach.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant Councilmember Gamble, but go ahead anyway. Sorry.
You With the parking area, so, you know, I don't like the extended meeting. I like that first intersection.
Thank you. I was looking, and I looked right at your red light there, or rather, Councilmember Gamble's. Councilmember Gamble.
I knew what you did.
We knew it.
But if I remember right, there was also a comment that they didn't, their preference would be to not lose the left-hand turn. I mean, that was, I also heard that in the, so I mean, really, you just have conflicting preferences.
Right.
You know, between the two. So, I like this option here. I think it, you know, I like where you, I mean, the more that you extend that median to the point of shutting it down, I agree with Councilman Gearing that, it, you know, it kind of puts a divider in kind of where your central location space is going to be. So I like this option in conjunction with the you know, additional parking potential type of deal. I think it's, air quotes for the record, I think that looks great. And, I mean, you're never going to hit it on the head to meet everybody's
individual
preference. I think it comes pretty close, though.
Thank you. Councilmember Hanford and Councilmember Cutterback.
Yes, thank you. I think this looks great, but just with that addition of the lot down there, I think we heard a few weeks ago from several citizens that they want parking downtown, and if we can somehow make that a usable lot, that would be a great step in the right direction. As well as the farmer's market idea is fabulous, as well as being able to shut down, and now you have more than just that little customer, you have that whole parking lot. I think it's a no-brainer. It's great. Thanks for all your work on this.
Thank you. Councilmember Cutterback.
Just one last question, and I'd be interested to hear what other council members think. If the aversion was the concrete portion, and we intend with this design to try to extend the plaza-like feel down, do we need to have that plaza space kind of reserved there? This becomes more like the option two, but just a shorter median, and then we extend the plaza down. Because I could see that if we extend that plaza down, is that going to look strange with that concrete there if the intent is to have that parking lot? How is that going to...
So my question back to you and council would be, if the parking lot is part of this option, would it be shared plaza parking? Would it be parking? How do you see that piece of property being dedicated or used?
For me, depending on how long it goes, I'm trying to look at this space, so I guess you don't have it detailed what it is, but, you know, extending the plaza and then having parking on the bottom half or something, if it's a big enough space for that, so that you extend the plaza-like feel. And so then
it's a shared.
It could be a shared space. But if what I heard from council is very interested in extending the plaza down, how is that going to look with that concrete plaza shading up there? Is it going to fit? Is it going to...
That's a good point. You really wouldn't need it. You could focus your plaza on the southern side.
Yes.
And then you wouldn't need to spend the money making that concrete
a plaza-like feel. And that's what people had negative comments about. So if we're looking at, you know, that bottom piece with this plan, that's probably the direction I would say.
Councilmember Hanford and then Councilmember Gamble. Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Can you go back to the last slide, the very last slide, that shows
the parking lot?
Yeah, and then can you go back to the one with the roundabout, the extended roundabout? Yeah. So, I think the question that you asked was, what kind of scenario would we want if we go with this route? Not the extended meeting, but this idea of the park launch. My thought would be all that greenery that goes in between the two would not be necessarily needed. Maybe something short, maybe something really that has breaks in it, you know?
Yeah, you so have
that
to
people can walk back and forth. Not, hey, we're going to walk to the corner and mm-hmm. around the other side.
Yeah.
Maybe just some benches or mm-hmm. something like that. But so that it's all open when it's time to park, yeah, there's some little thing to define the parking area. But when it's time to have a be open and have a party, let's have it be fluid.
So flexible.
Yeah.
Flex space with
yeah.
penetration for pedestrians. Yeah, okay.
exactly.
Yeah. Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
Yeah, the only thing I would say, if you go back to the option A that's there, and your colored paving, you know, piece, I think the one thing is just remembering the whole idea behind this is a gateway to the Main Street businesses and stuff. And I think, I had a question, then I'll make a statement, is that the preference of not having the concrete, was that one of the 35, or is it more of a, like, there's a general consensus, as everybody taught, was it wasn't a general consensus, it was just one individual preference amongst the 30? Okay. Okay, I just wanted to make sure that it wasn't an overwhelming tidal wave of discussion. Oh, yeah, that's crap, you know, type of deal. But I just think if you think of it, you know, hey, why we, you know, what the grant, the intent of the grant, and then the intention of what we would be doing with the plaza. I mean, this, to me, you're putting that focus on, here's our downtown, here's the corridor looking down, and then you would have the, because it's going to be, we're talking a parking plaza combination in that top, in the bottom. And that's if even you could make it happen, right? We're talking, that's kind of outside. That's a nice to, the nice to have, based off of this. So my preference still would be, and I think it would be more in keeping with, the original intent of the grant, which is really kind of focus around the downtown, looking down Main Street and the gateway, as opposed, because the more you get off to the side, if you're going to put the focus over there, it's not really downtown. So, and it does make me feel better that it wasn't a, or if it's not, I tell you, it was all 35 going, yeah! All right. Thanks.
Your Councilmember Kemp.
Thank you. I have to agree with Councilmember Gamble. This brings the focus to downtown, which is the intent. The other option, whether or not it is parking or a parking plaza or however they do it, takes it off to the side and redirects vision instead of looking down towards downtown and all the renovation we're doing in there. I'll be honest, I did like the extended median for the first option, but having heard some of the comments here, I'm curious why a left turn on Fremont is that important, because I know there are other access, there is other access, but the more I look at it with that focus, I think this really adds to it, so I really would be in favor of this. That's it. Thank you.
Councilmember, I was going to say Councilmember Kevin. How about Councilmember Hanford?
I know, because I used to work right across the street at the Able Auto Center building, where that was, to take a left and sit through the lights, to take a left on the West Main Street, it's much easier to go to cut through the Fremont, because the light is so short at Main Street, and there's not a ton of area, a large area to back up and get in line to turn left. And so, from my memory, is that Fremont cut through was used by a lot of people. And so, to close that off, now you're creating a major problem at the light at Main Street.
I'm just thinking about that next street up from Fremont.
That's even worse.
Is it?
That's where the guy got ran over, or we died.
Okay.
Not too long ago. That's another problem area, but.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
I would have to agree with a lot of the comments here in regards to this option. When we keep the Fremont turn in play, we don't lose that, but the open space, festival space, if you will, it does provide a focus and does provide that gateway. The lot option is something that can always be expanded into, and in addition down the road, and it would be in addition to this open space that we're already developing. So I think having the parking lot as a shared option down the road is great, and it's something I would definitely be in favor of down the road, but for the immediate future, something along those lines where we get that open plaza field, keep that turn lane and that gateway, I'd be in favor of something like this. Thank you.
Thank you. So just a couple thoughts that I have. First, I agree allowing the left-hand turns I think is important. Secondly, each one of the alternatives has the flag moved, and that's a pretty big flag. What sort of cost are we looking at to move the flag? We'd probably talk in tens of thousands, or?
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll leave it where it is.
Okay. I don't know how the rest of council feels, but I'm okay with where the flag is today. I think that it's in a very nice sight line, and unless it's in one of the options where the roundabout is, where it's centered on the intersection and connected more strongly with the festival space, I think the flag where it is today is in a good position. One of the things that I note is that we're doing the improvements on West Main for the one block west of Lewis Street, and then you've got these improvements that'll be happening at some point in time, one of these alternatives or a combination of them. I would just recognize that there's the triangle building. There's a short block there that that separates those two projects, and I think it would be beneficial as part of, you know, maybe combining some of the elements here to have one option come forward that looks at some of the sidewalk treatments, the bollards, the landscaping, and tries to create a transition from this gateway through that short block to the Main Street improvement. So that's one thing that I think would be important with this. And then lastly, I agree that would make an excellent that used car lot there would make an excellent location for both the surface parking, for off-street parking for our downtown, and also be able to work as space for events and things like that on occasion. So I agree that we should be looking at acquiring that property and finding a way to have it in a sort of a multi-use, but predominantly for parking. So those are some of my thoughts. I'm not really supportive of the two roundabouts that we saw. I think they're a little big, and I understand that they're not per se warranted for traffic control purposes. I think you all have done a great job, and I appreciate that you thought big on some of these, and so thank you for your work on it. So Councilmember Gehring and then Councilmember Hanford.
Thank you. Based on what we heard, I'm going to go ahead and make a motion to move to select gateway design concept number one, which is the intersection with median, leaving the flagpole where it is. That's my motion.
Second. We have a first from Councilmember Gehring and a second from Councilmember Camp. Discussion, Councilmember Hanford.
Yes, thanks. I just wanted to confer with you on the short block in front of the building. It definitely makes sense.
Would you like to make an amendment to the motion to that effect?
Yes.
Okay.
I'll second it.
Okay, so there's an amendment to the motion to have some of the design elements tie the gateway into the West Main improvements that are just east of, oh geez. No, the North-South Street. Blakely, I'm sorry, Blakely. It was just off the map that I was looking at here. So so between Fremont and, I'm sorry, between Madison and Blakely. Any discussion on the amendment to the motion? Okay, seeing none, all in favor of the amendment to the motion, say aye.
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 All opposed? Motion passes 7-0. We're now to the main motion. Any discussion on the main motion? Seeing none, all in favor of the main motion, say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes 7-0. Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you very
Thank
much.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Okay, and there seemed to be a lot of interest in the parking lot, the used car parking lot. Would you like that brought back? Because the motion did not include integrating that into the gateway.
We can do, no, that's separate.
I think it's right. Separate.
It's a separate thing. Separate.
Something we can go at.
Okay, sounds good. Wanted to make that ask real quick. Okay, sounds good. Okay. Sounds good. We're going to go ahead and then move on to council member reports. Thank you very much for coming and presenting and for the hard work. Council member Davis, I'm sorry, let's go ahead and start off with the Finance and HR Committee. So who's the chair?
Me. Okay, council member. On a personal note, nothing to say, but I will report it. Finance, and we'll be, we're going to be meeting again. We discussed some temporary planning staffing options. Those will be coming back. As part of a budget amendment, shortly we discussed extending the RFP with Pertit, which is going to expire in June. So we're going to start that process again now, that kind of a thing. And then we discussed budget for at least talking a little bit about the state legislative lobbyist service budget, but that'll be coming back because we need to get some more numbers. But again, those were the items that were discussed tonight. The most pressing being the need for additional planning staff and trying to find the best option for that. A few options were presented. We don't have any action for those, but we would expect it to be pretty probably here in the next few weeks when there's a budget amendment. Everything from a full-time person to moving forward with our on-call for now and a temporary. So that a number of range of options were presented to us, and I believe hiring an interim person and then using on-call for now was the option. But again, we'll come back with the during the budget amendment that's coming in a few weeks for full discussion. So that's what we discussed tonight. Thank you.
Thank you. Councilmember Gamble.
No report.
Councilmember Davis.
Nothing tonight.
Councilmember Kim.
Nothing tonight.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
Nothing.
Councilmember Cutterback.
Ditto.
Councilmember Hanford.
Nothing.
It's worth it. Mr. Osaki. No, it's okay. Please, go ahead.
Last week I mentioned how the city was expecting a flat application to come in. Mm-hmm. We just didn't know how many lots at the time, and we did receive an application for people on Division 4 through 8, 118 lots.
Wow.
Which probably raises the number of lots in the development pipeline to maybe over 450.
Wow.
What's going on right now is some of the homes or lots that are in the pipeline are coming out of the pipeline. That number is going to fluctuate up and down from here on out.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other item I'll just mention very quickly is that we did receive back from the consultant for the East Monroe EIS a revised draft for the city to review again and response to comments that we gave to the consultant back in early April. And we'll be taking a look at that and seeing how it works. That's it.
Thank you. Chief.
The only thing I would have is that on the 7th, the New World Project is going to ask all the users to sign on at once to test to see if the system can handle the load, and I thought it was very fitting because that is the National Day of Prayer.
That's it?
That's
Mr. Powell,
he worked on that one.
Tonight, they are giving up the remaining sidewalk in the south side of Main Street, and we'll be pouring concrete tomorrow morning. I just looking at the weather forecast, it's not supposed to rain until 4 p.m. tomorrow. So, and then the south side of that, the sidewalk will be back open with plastic and plywood over to get to the front of the businesses at 10 a.m. on Thursday morning. So, and they also poured the new curbs on Lewis Street on the north Lewis East side.
Just the curbs, not the sidewalks?
Okay. Yesterday.
Oh, they poured them yesterday. Okay.
And then also, the report is in your packets and also has includes the activities that the Operations Maintenance Division is doing this year, you know, painting crosswalks, line striping, getting rid of the pedestrian bulbs in the north and south side of Main Street, things like that.
Sounds good. Now, I had sent out an email to everybody, I think Thursday or Friday last week. The one thing that was wrong in that email, misunderstanding on my part, the bollards are not going to be installed with this pour. Hmm. So just FYI, those will be going in at a later date. And then I'm understanding that the tile, which is the parking area, will be installed mid-June, right? The material has been ordered and will arrive around the 10th-ish of June.
Yes.
Okay. So it, I would encourage everybody to go out and take a look at this. This is you're going to be able to see the 15 feet, and it'll be under plastic, it'll be under plywood, but you're going to be able to see that 15 feet on Thursday. And we've already had a request. That was another email that I sent to you. We've already had a request for what do we do to be able to put some tables out there and serve food. And so that came from one of the businesses, I'm not going to say who, on the south side of Main Street. And so that's encouraging. Now, because of that, Brad, do you have anything else to report before I go on to... Okay. So because of that, I asked Brad to you know, see what he could find in terms of sample regulations so that we can get people out there as soon as we can. And he has found some material from the city of Longview that he then mashed together with a couple other things to make it more relevant for us. And I sent that to you late last week. We didn't include it on tonight's agenda, but if it's something that council would like, it is something that I would like to bring forward next week. I don't know that we would adopt it per se next week, but we will have concrete without plastic and wood on it by Wednesday or Thursday, the 13th or 14th of next week. And so it is conceivable that we could have tables out there the 13th or 14th. So, no?
We'd like to keep the...
Because construction's still going on in the parking area?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
June 30th.
But June 30th. So it what I would like to do is have council look at it, get some ideas on the direction you'd like to go on it next week. And then I'd like to take it and shop it through the downtown and see what works for the businesses in the downtown, and then bring forward sort of a final proposal in early June for consideration of adoption, maybe in late June, so that June 30th we can it's ready to go. People know what they need to do, and we can use the sidewalks out there. So does that sound okay to everybody?
Sure.
Okay. So. Brad's already put together some material. We'll just have a real brief agenda, Bill, and I'd encourage you to read through it, and we'll have a discussion about it on Tuesday next week then. Does that work, Gene? Okay. Sounds good. Brad, do you have anything else to report? Okay.
The Eco Power Plus lawnmower cuts up to 2 miles on
your... Commercial.
Commercial. We're streaming on Pandora, so we have commercials now during our meetings.
Social policy.
Social policy. Okay. Okay. For me, I was in on Thursday. Had a series of meetings in on Friday, working on some items with budget and personnel, and then let's see what else. Monday, Tuesday. Oh, tomorrow I'm going to be at the Church of Latter-day Saints at lunchtime for something. Mm-hmm. And then we'll be...
Roundtable.
For a roundtable, thank you. I'm sorry, I'm sick for the recording again. I'm sick, sorry.
You're not going to attend if you're sick, are you?
No, I'll use lots of Purell. And then Thursday... thanks. Thursday night is the national night for prayer, and I would encourage everybody to attend. That's at First Baptist Church. I will be on vacation and out of the area beginning on Thursday of next week. So Councilmember Mayor Pro Tem Hanford will be taking care of the meeting 2 weeks from today. I will be here next week. And yeah, I think that's it. That's all I have for right now. Gene.
The only two things I have for you, we heard from H3O today. They're finalizing some documents. As soon as we get those, they'll be given out to the mayor to review, staff as well, and to council. So hopefully we're shooting for Thursday this week to receive those. So you should have them in your packet. We will not need the executive session on pricing of property. We were so close to getting it done for this evening, but there's a few missing components, and I didn't want to push it. I want to make sure we have the right stuff. See you next week.
We will add to this the sidewalk, Main Street sidewalk use, or Main and Lewis.
Our announcements and presentations, we'll have the Monroe Fire District here. Chief Silva will be presenting at the proclamation for Public Works Week, the consent agenda. Under finished business, we'll be discussing the 2015 comprehensive plan update. Under new business, we'll be setting the date to consider the Hoserland PRD plat. Under final action, we'll have the waiver request of frontage improvements for Tractor Supply. And we have the P4 committee.
Councilmember Rasmussen.
The sidewalk resolution rules, regulation, thank you, that we were mentioning earlier. Could we have that for P4 to review prior to council? And then, I don't know if there's any additional items you guys can think of.
Is there anything that you've thought of? No.
That's it then.
Okay. Anything else for the extended agenda? All right. I think that's it. I have nothing else. Is there a motion for adjournment? Okay, I have a first from Councilmember Gamble. I have
second.
A second from Councilmember Baring. Councilmember Cutteback, did you have something?
Yes, I did. I didn't want to end the meeting without.
Okay.
So looking at the May 26th meeting, it's the day after Memorial Day. I might or might not be here. I'm just saying that now. So it didn't look like we had, you know, there was a couple things canceled out at that meeting, and one that was left was a report on land sales, and then our presentation, if we could move that, didn't know if council, if we needed to have that meeting, or...
Yeah, the presentation we talked about last time, we needed to have it that night.
Oh.
Take the next step. We talked about that last week is why we didn't move it last week.
Oh, okay. I missed that.
Presentation was on that night. That's the only reason we still have it on there, if I remember.
They had to do it on that night?
That's because we'd already moved it and to that night. And
oh, okay.
If I'm remembering correctly, that's what I remember from last week.
Yeah. So I think the driver there was the comprehensive plan update.
And that too.
Yeah. But certainly, you know, certainly next week we can take a look at it again. We can see if Take the Next Step can come in on June 2nd as an alternative. But I know that we're working a lot with the comp plan update right now, and there may be a desire to have that on the 26th. So what I would propose is that maybe this week, Ms. Smoot, can you check to see if Take the Next Step would be available on the 2nd or the 9th? And like that, we can bring that back to council and just confirm that they'd still like to meet on the 26th.
I appreciate that you're not going to be here. We've got stuff to do that we need to meet.
No, I agree.
Yeah.
But I understand
yeah.
that.
Yeah, yeah.
If it's just a presentation, then that's
yeah, totally.
That's what I'm acknowledging.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then we'll just go over it next week.
Yeah.
Great. Anything else? Okay. So I have a first, and I already had a second. Ms. Smoot, did you get the first and the second on the adjournment for motion? Okay. The first
Gamble
was.
And Gehring.
Yep. Gamble and Gehring. Yes. All right. Any discussion on the motion to adjourn? Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All right. All opposed. Motion passes 7-0. Thank you very much. Have a great evening.
Squared.
What's that?
T-squared.
Here we go.